Blog Talk Radio.
You and I live in a world in which essential realities have been trivialized. For instance, we have seen the mockery and the trivialization of God. And with that comes the trivialization of sin and what sin is and what sin does. In some areas, theologies have completely dropped the teaching of sin and the teaching of heaven and hell, or Hades. The Bible never teaches about hell. The Bible teaches about Hades, and then the final destination of the lost, or the ruined ones, apolia, is the Greek word for loss. Final destination is Gehenna, or the lake of fire. Now, one may well deny these classical realities and say that, well, they never existed, or these are merely religious folklore or ideologies. And let me say that denial does not negate the reality or the existence of the reality that one wishes to negate. One may wish to negate the reality of gravity, but if one steps off a building, then the reality of gravity becomes a first-person reality. Maybe to one's chagrin, possibly not. But this morning, I want to address the reality of sin. This particular word, unfortunately, in the King James Version of the Bible, is the translation or transliteration of many different words, in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. The words in both the Old Testament and the New Testament that bespeak sin deals with different aspects or nuances of a very poignant reality that God speaks about in a very decisive manner. Some may think that sin began in Genesis chapter 3, whereas we know that sin actually began with Lucifer, the son of the morning, who ultimately became the Satan, the adversary, the opposer of God. So what we have in Genesis 3 is the infection of the human family with a pestilence that had already been in existence through the Nakash. In Genesis 3, he is called the Shining One, the Nakash. And so he passed sin into the human family through disobedience, just as sin was created in Lucifer, son of the morning, through his aberrant disobedience to the will of God. And so then we see at this point that sin in the Old Testament is not usually regarded as a condition, but as a definite act, whether of thought, word, or deed. Let me say that again. Sin in the Old Testament is not usually regarded as a condition, but as a definite act, whether of thought, word, or deed. One such word is patah in the Old Testament, which means a failure or coming short of Yahweh's aim or goal for those who are his own. So when we go to the book of Proverbs, we read these words in Proverbs chapter 5, beginning in verse 21. For a man's ways are in full view of the Lord, and he examines all his paths. The evil deeds of a wicked man ensnare him. The cords of his sin hold him fast. Verse 23. He will die for lack of discipline, led astray by his own great folly. Now, in verse 22, the words evil deeds are the translation of the one word, awam, in the Hebrew. Again, it is, and so here it is a masculine singular noun. And the focus of awam, A-W-O-N, has to do with the guilt or liability incurred and the punishment to follow. The evil deeds of a wicked man ensnare him. Notice the terms. The evil deeds of a wicked man. And so notice the adjective wicked before the noun man. So notice ensnare him, entrap him, the cords of his sin, that is, the cords of his sin hold him fast. Now, so evil deeds and then the word sin are very similar in the Hebrew text. So when I read these words, I inevitably think about Gulliver and Gulliver's travels and how the Lilliputians to Gulliver while he was asleep, as I remember, and they tied him down. So you and I have to understand that this is what sin does. Sin ties the individual up and ties the individual down. These words, the cords of his sin hold him fast. So we see that sin impedes motion. Sin impedes movement. Sin impedes activity. Sin impedes decisiveness. And in other words, sin holds the individual fast so that his life begins to decay. So this is a very serious spiritual concern, and one may not have appropriate, biblical, godly spiritual wellness if one practices sin. It just will not happen because this is contrary. Sin is contrary. The practice of sin is contrary to the will of God. And God loves us too much to let us sin successfully. That is not, that is most certainly not the plan of God for our lives. In Psalm 17, David writes these words. Though you probe my heart and examine me at night, though you test me, you will find nothing. I have resolved that my mouth will not sin. So we have his fixed resolution, that is, no sins of the tongue. As for the deeds of men, by the word of your lips I have kept myself from the ways of the violent, that is, destroyer, the violent ones. My steps have held to your paths, my feet have not slipped. And David is here speaking about sin in his life. And he has resolved not to practice sin. And I love the word pictures that are given here to us. Very powerful, very important. Now, we go back to the book of Proverbs. Here is one other verse that I'd like to bring to your attention. This is Proverbs 11:6. The righteousness of the upright delivers them. The righteousness of the upright delivers them. But the unfaithful are trapped by evil desires. And here one has the same idea. And here trapped means to take in a net or to be snared. And so the unfaithful, and notice that we just merely have an adjective here, the unfaithful are trapped by evil desires. You know, biblical counseling is fascinating because there is the understanding, there should be a profound understanding of the Word of God on the part of the counselor and on the part of the one who is being counseled or the counselee. If this is the case, then there will be counseling success according to the presence of the Spirit of God on the part of both the counselor and the counselee, because both belong to Christ, both should understand the importance of not practicing sin in one's life. We see what happens when a believer practices sin and that his or her life does not produce fruit unto the Lord. We are to be fruit producers, and we produce fruit unto Christ by walking by means of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit. And in Galatians 5, Paul says, those who produce the fruit of the Spirit, against us there is no law. There is no law. But those who practice the energia of the flesh produce what? Only the works of the flesh, which produce ruin or corruption. And so it is imperative that you and I understand that God will not allow us to sin successfully. Now, the consequences of sin, if they are delayed, then people will believe, you know, how people can be. They will believe that they have gotten away with sin. Believe me, no one gets away with sin. Mental attitude sin, sins of the tongue, adultery or transgressions, no one gets away with sin. But we do have a wonderful Savior who has come, who died to set us free from the penalty of sin. Now it is our job to make sure that we do not practice sin and thereby incur the consequences of sinful behavior in our lives. Good morning. My name is Dr. Desai. I wish you this beautiful day.